Henry Ford once said, "Anyone who stops learning is old, whether he's 20 or 80. Now, you can apply that to the world of contracting, where everything is part of a bigger picture. Tim Sullivan is a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of the blog A Government Contractor's Ten Commandments. His fourth commandment is, "Thou shalt stay informed." He says the more you know, the better protected you'll be.
The point of this whole commandment is to basically make the point that you can never stop learning. And when you do stop learning, you're in big trouble. And in the world of government contracting, there are a number of ways you can increase your knowledge and learn more and make you better at what you do, regardless of whether you're working for the government or for a private contractor.
I read many years ago, I think it was a Dale Carnegie course pamphlet, that had the anecdote of a woman who, to stay familiar with the contracts she dealt with, pulled them all out and read them through every week. Should people read through the Federal Acquisition Regulation?
No. As I say in my amendment, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution prevents cruel and unusual punishment, so I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. No. When you talk about working with the regulations, the FAR is a great example of something that's written very generically and very broadly. And if all you're going to do is read it without any context, you have a problem. Now, on the other hand, if someone calls you with a problem that they've got, let's say they submitted a bid that the Army said was submitted late. Now you go to the FAR language dealing with late bids or late proposals, and you put it up against the facts of your situation, and it jumps right out at you. So the FAR is a great example because it's almost like a chameleon. It changes color. It changes shape depending on the facts that you put up against it. You can go to courses to learn how the FAR works and how it's organized, but this is something you have to, you can't avoid. You can't be an ostrich and avoid the FAR. You have to get your hands dirty and work with it. And the best way to work with it is to usually take the facts you've got, find out where it's discussed in the FAR, this particular problem, and work with it that way.
I would say, I'm guessing here, that reading bid protest decisions is probably a good sort of backdoor way of getting into what the FAR really means and what it doesn't mean, because sometimes just reading a document without understanding the context of it and how people interpret it doesn't really tell you that much.
Well, it's a good example, but it only takes you part way, because the bid protests only deal with FAR Part 14 and FAR Part 15. You're better off reading, actually, what I point out in this particular commandment is that the best thing to do is subscribe to a periodical that digests these opinions and decisions by the GAO or the United States Court of Federal Claims in bid protests, or the Boards of Contract Appeals and the U.S. Court of Federal Claims for contract claims. That's where the great number of problems come up. As we've talked, you and I, a couple of times, the only thing worse than not having a government contract is having one. And that little adage comes from people who have experienced dealing with a difficult and demanding customer. And lots of times, contract performance issues lead to claims. And these claims are, if they can't be resolved between the parties, they're adjudicated by the Boards of Contract Appeals or the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. And those decisions are very instructive. But reading a digest of these and realizing, well, for a couple of reasons, and I make the point in this particular commandment that you've got to read, you should subscribe to and read. And as you know, Tom, that's a two-step process. It's one thing to subscribe to the New Yorker. It's another thing to read it every week. It takes time. The same with any periodical that covers government contracting. You've got to subscribe to it and discipline yourself to read it on a daily or weekly basis to stay up to speed on what's going on out there. And it may not happen every week, but inevitably you're going to run across a case where a contractor gets burned, let's say, and you look at it and you think, wow, that could happen to us under our Navy contract. We've got the same thing brewing here. We've got to take action now to prevent that from happening to us. Or you'll see something that's happened to a company in a bid protest, and you'll say to your team, wait a second, that's exactly what's going on right now with us with the Air Force. What can we do to resolve this without paying the lawyers to do it? So reading these materials, these things that are resources that are available out there, in a reasonable amount. You don't want to subscribe to everything, because you and I know you'll never read everything. Read what you can and stay up to speed on these things, and you're going to be much better at what you do.
And you've got a couple of recommendations on what are good periodicals for people, I guess, on either side, government or industry, that are doing contracting.
Right. These are ecumenical, if you will. Dollar for dollar, I think the best thing out there is the BNA Federal Contracts Report. It comes out 5 days a week, and it's a summary of all the decisions coming out from the boards and the courts and the GAO. Sometimes they'll have white papers on different issues. It's something that those of us in this business read every day. And we read it at the start of the day because it could affect what's going to happen in our day if we trip across something that's relevant to a problem or a contract we're working on. Law 360 is another daily periodical that comes out Monday through Friday that I think is terrific. And then there are a couple of other publications out there that aren't published daily, but they're usually published monthly. The two that I recommend the most are the National Sabbinic Report, which is a monthly publication that's been coming out from since the 80s, and it is fantastic. And the other one is federal publications publication called the Briefing Papers, which has been published on a monthly basis since the 1960s. It discusses one topic a month, whether that's inspection and acceptance or warranties or breach of contract or performance issues. It's a deep dive into that topic written for the lay people, the lay person out there, and these periodicals do a great job.
Tim Sullivan is a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of the blog series The 10 Commandments of Federal Contracting, available at federalnewsradio.com. Certain professionals have requirements that people go to periodic training and get points and prove that they have, such as accounting and I don't know about law.
We have continuing legal education in most states around the country.
But that's not the case, really, for federal contracting officers, and maybe it should be.
Well, it certainly would be nice. There is an organization called the NCMA, which does a terrific job, the National Contract Management Association.
Know them well.
They have a certification program, a CPCM program, that is a terrific way to do this, but it's not mandatory. You'll see companies pushing people to do it. I'm guessing they get raises or promotions based on, in some part, whether they've done this and showing that they're willing to take the extra effort to do these things. So that is the CLE out there is great, or continuing education, I should say, is great. And there are plenty of things available now, Tom. It used to be you had to leave the office and go to a seminar, whether it was in Washington or Las Vegas or San Francisco, and you're out of the office for a couple of days. But as you know, the webinar world and the virtual classroom electronically are out there right now, and a lot of people can take advantage of that in a very economic fashion.
Now, you've mentioned publications and events and organizations that are directly focused on this field. What about some of the peripheral types of things, publications in particular, that might shed light on this that people aren't aware of?
Well, I'm a big fan of making sure that you stay on top of current events. What I always tell my students in the classes I teach is that every contract or subcontract you're working on is just one part of a much larger picture. So the more you understand about the big picture, the better you'll be able to protect your organization, whether it's government or private. And by that, I mean you need to read a good newspaper every day. And not just to know what's going on with your local sports teams, but to understand what's happening to the big companies and the big agencies that your company or your agency works with or alongside. You need to know what's going on in the Middle East, for example, because a lot of companies have men and women and equipment and facilities over there, and they could be in jeopardy if something goes wrong in Iraq or Israel or somewhere else. You have to stay on top of current events to protect your organization. As we found out in 1979 when the Shah of Iran fell, and there were many, many American contractors over there who had to be out within 24 hours and left everything behind them. If you don't think that affected companies' pricing strategies going forward, you'd be wrong. So understanding the what's going on in the world is it's very important. You're not living in a cocoon. And I'd also recommend reading a good business publication on a regular basis, whether that's daily or weekly. I'm happen to be addicted to the Wall Street Journal. Every day I've got to read that, and it's amazing how on a day-to-day basis there's something in there that relates to something we or our clients are doing, and it's just staying on top of what people are saying about them. Barron's, Financial Times, whether it's Business Week or Fortune, you need to understand that whether you're with a private contractor or in a government agency, you're in the business world, and these business publications are important to your survival.